morning, Church in the Rock. Good morning, Church. Can we give God a hand clap for that? Wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that wonderful? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, guys, my name is Pastor Aldridge Collins, and I have the joy of serving as our executive pastor here. It is indeed our pleasure to have you here. Now, many of you may know that my wife, Tenori, and I moved here from Birmingham, Alabama, 2 years ago, exclusively for the purpose of me joining the staff here, and it's just been a joy. It truly, truly has been a joy. I am honored that Pastor Josh asked me to come and bring a message today, and again, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Now, outside of managing the administrative functions of our church, I also oversee our outreach and our missions. And one thing that is personally just important to me is life groups. Is anybody here in life groups? Okay, praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, look, life groups are so important to me and our church that I personally lead 3 life groups. And I just want to give those who are part of my life groups a shout out. So the first life group that I lead is a businessman's Bible study. We meet at 5:45 a.m. right here at the church. And there are 19 men on roster who live as far as Jacksonville and Palm Coast to be here, meaning they wake up in the 4 o'clock hour to be here. Our prayer is that value is added to them. And I'm telling you, we cover spiritual things. So the thing about the groups that I'm leading is that it very much is spiritual. We cover topics like the Holy Spirit. We cover topics like the grace of favor. And I just want to honor those men because they're doing 2 things that the devil doesn't want, right? The devil doesn't want men to grow spiritually, right? Right? Now, hey, look, I'm from a Baptist church. So I need to hear you, okay? Men, the devil doesn't want men to grow spiritually, right?
Right.
Right. And the devil doesn't want men to grow relationally, right? Right. And so I just want to honor you, men. You know who you are. A few of you are in the room, a few of you are online, and I thank you because you are fighting the devil by your participation in a business Bible study. The second group that I lead is my wife, Tenora, and I lead this at our house. It is a group for people in our age cohort. And the thing about that is that this is for people who serve at the church. Okay, so people our age who serve at the church, because the thing is, we're going through the same issues of life. And the beautiful thing about it, it's a potluck. So a brother eats, okay, and I eat. And so people bring various food, and all the kids are running around. It's really fun. You get what I mean? And I'm just going to tell you, that group is personally gratifying for my soul. Again, some of you are in the room. You know who you are. We thank you. And then the last group that I lead is what's called First Saturday Outreach. I started this group about 2 years ago with the explicit purpose of knowing that there were like-minded men and women in this church who had a heart for people outside of these four walls. And again, we had a great serve yesterday. You know who you are. And I thank you. I thank you. If you're not in a group, look, I implore you, please get in a group. Because the thing about it is that your journey here at Church on the Rock will not be as full as it could be without you engaging in partnership with men and women along the way. So just know that. Just know that. I also, again, I mentioned that I have a business background. And I'm grateful that that Pastor Josh asked me to lead this. Today is the first installment of the ROI series, ROI. Now, you may not know this, but Pastor Josh and I met 9 years ago. I was in Birmingham in ministry school. My wife and I attended Highlands College. While we were in ministry school, I was working full-time in finance. And so Pastor Josh quickly learned that I have a heart for what's called kingdom finance. Now, please do hear me. There's a difference between earthly finance and wealth and kingdom finance and wealth. Let me give you an example. Don't we all know men and women like Bernie Madoff? Men and women like El Chapo? Honestly, I actually believe they have great business minds. You sort of have to. But one of them led the darn largest Ponzi scheme in our nation's history, right? And one of them brought in a tremendous amount of drugs into our country. Great business mindsets, great systems and structures, they just didn't use it for the kingdom. You understand? And so my heart and passion is really kingdom wealth and kingdom finance. I just want to let you know that. So today is the first installment of the ROI series. With that, I am an extremely goal-oriented person. My background is business. I love people. I'm very personable. But I'm a goal-oriented person. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen by the end of the day, okay? This is our hope and our prayer. And I mean this sincerely. I really do mean it sincerely because these are spiritual matters. So in the realm of the spirit, I'm praying, and we've been praying for you. There are 3 boxes on this connection card that at the end of the service I'm going to draw your attention to. The first box says that I want to commit to Christ for the first time. So just know that it's coming. Our prayer is that there are people in this room who don't know Jesus. We're glad you're here. We want you to be here. Our prayer is that there are people who want to renew their commitment to Christ. Look, that was me. I was an adult. Look, I grew up in a Baptist church, right? I grew up with the hymns and the pews and the stained glass windows. I loved it. Had a great experience. But it wasn't until I was an adult that I knew Jesus for myself. And then there are going to be some in the room who say, I want to be baptized. That was me too. Because I think my mom made sure that I was baptized when I was 6. You get what I'm saying? It happened. I was baptized. It was an experience, but as I grew older, I realized that it was not a significant experience to me. And so I made a decision in my 20s that, hey, you know what? I want to be baptized for myself. We call that the wedding band of Christianity. So do know that, again, goal-oriented, our hope and prayer is that there are people in this room who make a decision for Christ. You may have heard me earlier say that Pastor Josh asked me to bring a teaching. And so I just want to give you a disclaimer. My style is that much more of a teacher than a preacher, okay? So with that, I need your permission. May I indeed bring a teaching today? I'm from the Baptist Church. I didn't hear you. Okay, look, do know I'm going to bring a teaching, but do know this. It can only be in conjunction with the Holy Spirit that today's message lands. So it's not me. Please don't see me. I'm just a man. Our prayer is that that you hear the Holy Spirit talking to you, that you hear him prompting you. Truly, truly. So do know that. I also must say that I love the body of Christ. I sincerely do. And I have profound respect for men and women in the faith who have gotten us to this point. I also must say that there are a lot of well-meaning pastors who, particularly when you talk about the subject of wealth, finances, and money, who have taught with what I call a degree of imbalance, okay? And what I mean by imbalance is that when these teachings are taught imbalanced, it has three results. One is that people are left hurt, right? Second is that people are left skeptical. In fact, when we talked about ROI, some of your skin started to crawl, and I get it. So some people are left hurt, some people are left skeptical, and then there are others who, even for those in the body of Christ, are actually what I call spiritually poor when it comes to the matter of economic empowerment, finances, and kingdom wealth. And so my prayer today is to bring a degree of balance to that teaching, knowing, having full respect for those who have been right here where I am before me. Does that make sense? Because I've experienced some of that imbalance, and I didn't like it when the preacher talked about money. But do know that our prayer today is that there's a degree of balance that's brought. And what do I mean by imbalance? What I mean by imbalance is that there are some places that you go to, every pastor, no matter what he's saying, money, 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 money. Do you know what I mean? You can talk about music, money. You can talk about kids' church, money. You can talk about parking lot, money. And what that does is that the degree of imbalance doesn't really do well in building people up for the kingdom. But likewise, the opposite is true. There are some churches that you may go to and some pastors who communicate that they only talk about grace, love, salvation, hope, at the exclusion of talking about kingdom wealth, kingdom finances. And what that does is that that's an imbalance. And so it leaves people spiritually poor with this topic. I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense? So please do know that my prayer today is just to bring a degree of balance so that everyone walks out of here honestly feeling full, feeling lifted, feeling that you have hope. That's our goal. That is our goal. Again, I can only do this with the power of the Holy Spirit, so may we pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to be here on today. God, your word says that you draw men unto you, and you have drawn men here today. I pray, God, that you give me a degree of truth to speak to your people. But God, let me decrease and let you increase. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So guys, there are going to be three key verses that I want everyone in here to walk out knowing, okay? Go ahead and pick up your notes. Go ahead and pick up your notes. Any good teacher, you gave me permission to teach. So any good teacher is going to require something. My only one requirement is that you take notes. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Today's message is not only going to perhaps free you, but some of you have an enablement. Some of you have an enablement to be able to share this with others. And so you're going to be free, but only not you. But there are going to be people that you know who are going to be set free because of this. If you're sitting in the seats, there are notes in the seat back in front of you. If you're on the front row, the notes are below you. If you're online, perhaps there is a way for them to share notes there as well. But I just want to let you know that today is a teaching. There are going to be three key verses. The first key verse is this. The first key verse says, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This comes from Matthew 13:11. And he answered and said unto them, because it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now I'm going to tell you, this verse is so powerful that I'm actually teaching this to my kids. So I actually want you to just take a listen. Check this out.
Three, two, one.
It has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, right, right, right. It's cute, right? It's cute. So my wife and I have three beautiful babies. Those are our four-year-old twins. And then we have a son who's almost 3 years old. And so, almost 2 years old, sorry. And so, God gave me a personal conviction, okay? And the thing about conviction is that I can't place my conviction on you, but I can tell you my conviction. God said, Aldridge, what are you teaching your kids? What are you teaching your kids? And I want my four-year-olds and my two-year-olds to know that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given unto them. I want them to know that. In fact, there are two things that my wife and I refuse to do. One is that we refuse to allow the world to teach our kids about spirituality. Let me tell you what happens when the world teaches your kids about spirituality. There's a word I call entanglement. The Bible calls entanglement. What happens is that the world entangles darkness into light. The world entangles these things. So just look, just hear me. Just hear me. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but hear me. Can anyone explain how Easter went from the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bunnies, chocolate, and rabbits? Entanglement. Are you understanding me? That's an entanglement. And so we just refuse to allow the world to teach our kids about spirituality. The second thing we refuse to do is that we refuse to allow our kids to only hear about Jesus one day of the week on a Sunday for 60 minutes. But this is my conviction. You get what I mean? Sunday school is only 1 hour. So it's our job as parents to teach them these things. It has been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The second verse I want you to know is John 10:10. It says, the devil comes to do what? Good. Steal, kill, and destroy. This comes, says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that they may have what? And to have it how? More abundantly. Sorry about that. And to have it more abundantly. Our third verse is this. Our third verse says, Our third verse says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. And there's a reason, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So again, there are going to be three verses that I want you to walk away today knowing. They are written on your message notes, and my prayer is that you know them. Now, when it comes to return on investment, this series, a lot of people defer to the matter of money, and that's fair. But I just want to let us know that there are many more areas that we can invest in outside of money. However, because most people's minds go there, I'm going to go there. And God has given me a gift and an enablement to really talk about tough topics, but in a very nice way. And so there are things that, when it comes to this matter of money, a lot of people, there's one word in the Christian realm that it got under my skin, okay? Because I didn't learn about it with balance. And that's this word, y'all ready for it? Prosperity. Prosper, right? Has anybody had a bad experience with the phrase prosperity, prosper? I'm seeing some head nods, okay? So look, let's just go there. Let's dive in. Let's look at prosperity. Let's look at prosper. Prosper simply means to do well and to be successful. That, by definition, is what prosper means. Now, in the realm of the kingdom, okay, there's the realm of the kingdom. There are actually five dimensions of prosperity. In the realm of the kingdom, there are five dimensions of prosperity. And for us to be prosperous, we actually have to be five of five. Take notes. I'm going to go fast. If I go too fast, just take a picture or watch it back online. I just want to let you know I'm going to teach, but my pace has to be a little fast. So the five dimensions of biblical prosperity. The first dimension of biblical prosperity is called spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity. Thank you for taking notes. I see you. Again, this is not going to just serve you, but you have the ability to help teach others. My prayer is that people get set free. Our prayer is that people get set free. So spiritual prosperity, this is your eternal salvation, your relationship with Jesus Christ, to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, to understand his ways and the principles of the kingdom, to conform to the image and the character of Christ. Number one, spiritual prosperity. Number two, mental prosperity. What is mental prosperity? This is the state of your wellness, your mental state of productivity, when your mind, which is your will, emotions, and intellect, are well developed and deployed to improve the quality of your life. Mental prosperity. Number three is health. Health prosperity. Anybody heard the phrase that health is wealth? That's what this is. This is health prosperity. Health prosperity is bodily prosperity. So to be free from sickness and free from disease I love this word, free from the yokes, and all oppressions of darkness. Number four is financial prosperity. Again, there are three levels of prosperity in order that are much more important than this one. Because what good is it to have money, but you go to hell? What good is it to have money, but your mind is mad? What good is it to have money, but you're sick? Are you following me? Okay. Financial prosperity. This is freedom from lack, poverty, and listen, the negative effects from them. That line is why I wage war on poverty. It's not that people are poor that I have an issue with. It's the dang negative effects. It's the negative effect because poverty drives people to do things. Poverty drives people to drugs. Poverty drives people to stealing. Poverty drives people to prostitution. Poverty drives people to places that they don't want to go and that they shouldn't go. It's the negative effects. This is the subject of abundance and financial freedom, having abundant financial supplies alongside with the means to sustain it. The next level of prosperity is relational prosperity. This is the richness of your relationships with people, having quality relationships that give you opportunity to express love and care, to improve yourself, to learn to share, and to affect and impact lives. Again, there are five levels of biblical prosperity, and for us to be considered prosperous in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be five of five. Is that helpful? Okay. So, and I want to ask, are we learning? Like, really? I'm from the Baptist church. I just need to hear you. I see some head nods. I need to hear you. Okay. Amen. I want us to learn, okay? I really want us to learn. So the question is, thank you, sir. The question is, if God wants us prosperous, then why? Because why does this thing? Why gives us what I call perspective, and it gives us purpose. So why does God want us to prosper financially? Take notes. There are going to be three reasons why God wants us to prosper financially. The first reason, let me do this. All right, let me read this verse. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified with, what does the Lord have pleasure in? Which have pleasure in, prosperity. Say it, prosperity. In the prosperity of his servants. Again, the Lord wants us prosperous. Know it. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So let's look at the three dimensions of prosperity. Number one, God desires for us to be prosperous because he wants us to live a comfortable life. Now, I have to say this. If there is anything in your spirit that fights that statement, that is demonic. If there's anything in your spirit that fights the fact that God wants you prosperous, that comes from the pit of hell. I just want you to know that. Number two, God desires for us to help provide financial resources for kingdom advancement. Yes. We'll come back to that. And then number three, God desires for us to reveal the love and compassion of Jesus Christ to a dying world in a practical and in a definite way. I see you taking notes. I'll just talk slowly. I'll go over it one more time. Number one, God desires for us to live a comfortable life. Number two, God desires for us to help provide financial resources for kingdom advancement. And number three, God desires for us to reveal the love and compassion of Jesus Christ to a dying world. There's a dying world. In a practical and in a definite way. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to see how number one has to do with you. Are you seeing it? Has to do with you. Number two has to do with the church. And then number three has to do with the world. You see it. Amen. Amen. Now, when it comes to, again, prosperity and finances in church, I've been praying about how to say this, and this is how God revealed it to me. When believers are mentored properly, just bear with me now, because this statement means something. Embedded in this statement is an acknowledgement that not all believers are mentored properly. That's why it's important. That's why I beat the drum of life groups. We need a place to be mentored. In my business life group, there are people in their 20s, and there are people who are retired. when believers are mentored properly, because not all are, in our building process, let's pause. Any believer should be built like a well-constructed building, meaning we have to have a very strong foundation. But not all believers have a very strong foundation because not all believers were mentored properly. Are you seeing it? Okay, let's continue. When believers are mentored properly in our building process, we should be taught that it is a part of our kingdom responsibility to provide financial resources for kingdom advancement. But the thing about it is that not every believer was mentored properly. Not every believer has a strong foundation in their building process. But it's the truth. As a believer, we should be taught that it's a part of our kingdom responsibility to provide financial resources for kingdom advancement. Now, there's a clause, okay? Again, my prayer is to bring a degree of balance such that we walk out of here set free. There's a clause. It should not be anything that comes through manipulation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It should not be anything that comes through manipulation. Number two, there should not be anything superstitious about it. So many places you go to that talk about kingdom wealth and finances, it's with a degree of superstition. And look, my prayer is that we just reduce the skepticism and the superstition. It shouldn't be anything superstitious about it. Number three, in the kingdom of God, giving has to be done. Why? By spiritual revelation, motivated by our love for Jesus. Know that. I also have must say that believers should be able to look at their personal finances and point to the portion of resources that are being channeled towards kingdom activities. If I'm mentored properly and if I'm built properly, I should be able to look at my budget and say, hey, God, this is the portion of resources that are being channeled towards the kingdom. Now, what are kingdom activities? A kingdom activity is any activity that ultimately leads to the what? Revelation of Jesus Christ and the what? Glorification. That is a kingdom activity. If there's anything that I do in my life, in my world, in my business, in my home, in my schools, in the grocery store, am I doing things that reveal Jesus, and am I doing things that glorify him? Are we together? Okay. Are you seeing the balance? I see some head nods. I'm from the Baptist Church. I need to know. If it's not balanced, tell me. Are you seeing the balance? Okay, thank you. My prayer is that you see the balance. So if God wants us to be prosperous, then we must know that there's this thing called laws, right? God creates laws. Now, God creates spiritual laws and God creates natural laws. Let's look at the spiritual laws of wealth and abundance. The first spiritual law of wealth and abundance is called the law of absolute surrender. The law of absolute surrender. Now, what this is when your heart belongs to God, he can trust you with anything. The law of absolute surrender has to do with your heart, okay? The law of absolute surrender has to do with your heart. The second law is called the law of the tithe. Now, tithe by definition is one-tenth. It's a tenth portion. Tithe is not all about money. It's not about money. It's not only about money. Listen, this is actually called in the Bible the law of open heavens. We'll dive into it and show you. The third law is called the law of giving. And I just like to say it this way. If people aren't engaging in the law of giving and receiving, then certain realms are going to be closed to you. In the Bible, they call it the law of seed time and harvest. How can one harvest if one does not plant seeds? It's biblical. It's biblical. So what I want to do is I want to do an example. What I'm going to do is grab this stand and bring it over here. And we're going to go through these laws together. I have right here a book that I'm going to open up and take this out. And let's go through it. Let's look at a Bible verse. Let's see if we have this next. Again, the law of absolute surrender, the law of the tithe, and the law of giving. The Bible says this. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It's the law of first fruits. We're going to explain it. What else does the Bible say? The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into thy storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove to me now here within, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not do what? Say it. It's the law of open heavens. You remember I mentioned that earlier? It's the law of open heavens. And pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So let's go through these laws. Let's go through these laws. So look, I worked all week, okay? All month, in fact. Worked hard all month, got my paycheck in the mail. It was cash. And so I worked really hard, and I got this cash, and I got $10. Worked hard for my $10, right? All right, we're going to do an illustration. I want you to count with me, okay? So I received $10. Count with me. Let's see if this works. One. Good. Y'all can count. Two. Thank you. Excellent. I've worked really hard for my $10, okay? Worked really, really hard. Let's go through these laws together. First is the law of absolute surrender. What that tests is your heart. It tests my heart. So the law of absolute surrender asks the question, can God trust me? And if God can trust me, then I can move on. God, all of this is yours. In the realm of the kingdom, wealth is not about my achievements. In the realm of the kingdom, wealth is about trust. Can God trust me? Can God trust me? If I can pass that law, then I move on to the next law, which is the law of what? The law of the tithe. So tithe means 1/10. I got 10 $1 bills because these are $1 bills, by the way. This didn't come out of the church's treasury. It came out of my personal bank account. So just know that we're stewarding everything well, okay? So these are $1 bills. And so the question is, a tithe means 1/10. What that means is one of these belongs to God. And I just want to ask a question. Is it this one right here because it's a little dirty, it's a little wrinkled and old? Is this the tithe? Is this the tithe? No? Okay. Well, is it the one that's next to it? Because you know what? It looks, it's nice and crisp and clean. It's fresh. Is this the tithe? Okay, well then, if none of those two are the tithe, I just want to submit to you that of all of these, the one that is the tithe is indeed this one because it was first. It's the law of first fruits. It was first. So the thing about God is that God doesn't want to be last. God didn't want to be in the middle. It's about priority. Where is God in my life? God is first. And I'm going to tell you how this works in my family. Okay. So my wife and I, we get paid on the first of the month and we don't do anything. When I say anything, we don't do anything until we tithe. She doesn't go grocery shopping. We don't put money in savings. We don't pay any bills. In fact, I'm so strict about it that I made our mortgage come out on the second of the month. I mean it. Because what happens is that if I give to God first, he will bless the rest. I don't want the mortgage to get its first, and then there's a chance that other things aren't blessed. No. God, where is your... Do you have law of surrender? Do you have my heart? Okay, God, the law of the tithe. God, am I giving to you first? Yeah. So, after I pass the law of the tithe, then comes the law of giving. So the way that it should work, and look, and I get it, this is in no way condemnation, okay? Because some people haven't been well mentored. Some people haven't been well built. So please do know that this is no condemnation on anybody. I don't want anybody walking out feeling bad, okay? Are you with me? Please don't walk out here feeling bad. I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want you to feel empowered. This is education. A part of the ministry that God says is to teach. Teach my people. Teach my people. This is a teaching. So the way the giving should work is I give to God, then I pay my bills, and then you know what? I have some left over. Let me give. So whether it's someone who's, again, for kingdom purposes, it doesn't have to be the church per se. So am I helping someone who's poor in the name of Jesus? Am I giving to a charity who's doing kingdom work in the name of Jesus? Am I giving to the church in the name of Jesus? Unfortunately, and look, again, I was in finance before I was in ministry. This is what happens. People work hard for their $10. And so rent is due, right? Right? Car bill is due. Groceries. You know, there's nothing wrong with having fun. I'm going to have a little fun. And dang, my tire went out. And what happened is that there was nothing left for God. Are we seeing it? But what happens is that if indeed I give to God first, God will bless the rest. But not out of any kind of manipulation and not out of any kind of superstition. I hope that you're learning. Our prayer is that you're learning. So let's leave what God says about giving. It says that every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. But look, how are you supposed to give? Not grudgingly. I've given angry before. I did it because I had to. I didn't want to, but I did it. I did it, and I thought I was doing good. No, God didn't honor that. Nor out of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. So I just want to let you know what the Word of God says. Now, again, there are spiritual laws of wealth and abundance, and there are physical laws of wealth and abundance. Let me explain the difference. Spiritual laws of wealth and abundance are responsible for the arrival. The spiritual laws of wealth and abundance are responsible for the arrival of financial resources in your life. The physical laws of wealth and abundance are responsible for the management and multiplication. Now, I don't have time to get into the physical laws today. We're just going to cover the spiritual laws. But do know that there is a difference between physical laws and spiritual laws and what they do. So, John, this is our second key verse. The devil comes to do what? He comes to steal, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. What I'm going to do is we're going to read the Bible. We're going to read a large section of the Bible. It's going to be Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through Mark chapter 5, verse 20. It's going to be right here on the screen. My prayer is that through this, we get the revelation of how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of you know this verse, but I'm telling you that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been given unto you. And so as we read this, my prayer is that your heart see these mysteries. Let's read. The setup is that Jesus was teaching on the Sea of Galilee. Let's continue. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. We're going to come back to that. Jesus wasn't alone in that water. There were other boats with him. Mark that. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Of course he did. Jesus got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and said, "Quiet, be still." Then the winds and the wave died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this man? Who is he that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Let's pause right here. Again, I love the body of Christ. There are no miracles that are small. A lot of pastors stop here and marvel at the fact that Jesus calmed the winds and the waves. That is indeed a miracle, and I'm not saying that any miracles are bad or small, but there's more. There's more. There are mysteries to the kingdom that are going to be revealed to you. Let's continue. Because I don't want us to marvel at what happened. I want us to know why it happened. Let's go. Mark chapter 5, the continuation. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with the impure spirits came from the tombs to meet him. Who was the first person to meet Jesus the second he got out of that boat? Who? Say it. Who? Was it the governor? Yes or no? Was it the mayor? Was it the business council? It was the man with impure spirits. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you in the realm of the spirit. Let me explain this mystery. What is happening here is that I call it the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist has always been around. In fact, it was around, and the purpose of the spirit of the Antichrist is to steal, is to kill, and to destroy. So the spirit of the Antichrist knew that Jesus was coming, and it sent forth winds and waves such that it could try to kill Jesus. Are you with me? Now listen, get this. I hope that you get this. My prayer is that you get this. There were other boats with him. So there has an implication for me and you. Weren't those other boats almost drowning? Yes or no? And they were drowning. Why? Because their attachment to Jesus, right? Are you and I not attached to Jesus? And don't you and I experience winds and waves in our life? We have to understand that these aren't just physical things that are happening in the realm of the spirit. It's happening because we know Jesus, because we love Jesus. There are mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that are going to be revealed to you. When Jesus got out of the boat, the man with the impure spirits came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He already knew it. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. There lies our second mystery. There lies our second mystery. The last line here says, he begged Jesus again and again to do what? To do what? Not send him out of the area. The mystery here is called territorial spirits. There's something in the kingdom called territorial spirits. Now, what territorial spirits are, these are spirits that are domiciled in certain territories. They know the people. They have history with them. They know their culture. They know how to control them. Territorial spirits. And so what has happened here, and let's think about it. Let's just think about it. Don't we know, let's think about either our city, our nation, our world. Don't we know certain areas that have a spirit of poverty? Yep. Don't we know certain areas that have the spirit of white collar crime? Yep. Don't we know certain places that have the spirit of theft, spirit of pornography, spirit of prostitution, spirit of even this, if you're talking about other religions, spirit of worshiping Muhammad, the spirit of worshiping Allah, the spirit of Buddhism, the spirit of Shintoism. Territorial spirits are so strong that he said, "I know these people, Jesus, please don't send me out of this area. I don't have to learn new people." I pray that you get these mysteries. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's continue. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." Jesus gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed in his right mind, and their reaction? They were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus, "Leave our region." As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him, "Can I go with you?" But Jesus told him, let me pause right here, because there's another mystery. All right. Again, I love the body of Christ. I love our forefathers in faith. I love our contemporaries, and I love those who are learning and being trained. And a lot of pastors marvel at the fact that they talk about the financial impact, right? Because look, 2,000 of anything is a lot of money. So the businessmen were very upset because 2,000 pigs drowned. Are you with me? If I lost 2,000 homes, if I lost 2,000 cars, if I lost 2,000 pigs, I would be upset. But there's more, because the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given unto you. Let's continue. Jesus did not let it go with him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Right there in that last sentence is the last mystery. Let me explain this mystery. Let's look at what the word Decapolis means. Decapolis means the 10 cities. So, let's recap. We have this man who had been possessed by demons for years, right? For years. The demons were so strong that they could send out winds and waves in an attempt to kill Christ coming. The demons were so strong that this man, hear me, he had the strength of Samson. Why? Because no one could bind him. That's the strength of Samson. They couldn't bind with chains. They couldn't bind him with ropes. He had the strength of Samson. The demons were so strong, and they knew the territory so well that they said, "Jesus, will you please send us into these pigs?" So they had the spirit of the Antichrist on them, and they also were territorial spirits. not just what, but let's talk about why. Why did the demons possess that man? Why did the demons attack him? Why are you getting attacked financially? Why are you getting attacked mentally? Why are you getting attacked with your health? Why are you getting attacked with your relationships? This is why. Because this man from Gadara, he had a calling on his life. In the same way that you have a calling on your life. And that is why the devil and the demons went after him specifically. And that is why the devil and the demons are going after you specifically, because, sir, you have a calling to reach people. Ma'am, you have a calling to reach people relationally. Students, you have a calling to reach people financially. You have a calling. You have a calling. So this man had a calling not to reach one city, but to reach 10 cities. 10 cities. Now, this is not just theory. These are real people. These are real places. I want to show you on the map where this is. This is the Mediterranean Sea. A lot of people are familiar with Europe. So we have here Spain, Portugal, France, Italy, Greece. We have Northern Africa, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt. Way on this side is the Middle East, and there's a place called Israel. Real people, real places. Jesus was real. I just want to show you where he was. This is Israel. Again, here you can see Judea, you can see Samaria. Over here is the Decapolis. Let's zoom in to the Decapolis. So this is the Sea of Galilee, the body of water that Jesus was crossing, right? When the winds and the waves came, he was crossing the Sea of Galilee. That city right there is Gadara. Different places spell it differently, but that's Gadara. That's where the madman, sorry about that. That's where the madman was. He was in Gadara. And the territory that this man was called to reach is the Decapolis, the 10 cities. I want you to see it. It's real. It's not just a Bible story. These are real places. These are real people. Okay? Now, our third verse is this. We have to go fast. Our third verse is this. Our third verse is, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Why? So that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. As the keyboard starts to play, I want to ask everyone here to look in the seat back in front of you and grab this. Take your time. Take your time and find it. Any good teacher has to give good instructions. This is our last lesson. Please grab this. Please grab it. Good. Thank you guys for pulling it out. Thank you. Thank you. And what I want to do is that I want to explain what this is. The Bible is telling me as a pastor to teach you. The Bible tells me, teach you, teach you, teach you to number your days. And so this ruler represents life. It represents our lifespan. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just measure life, because God says, teach us to number our days. So what I want you to do is find your current age. So if you're age 20, find age 20. If you're age 70, find age 70. And I want you to take the paper, and I actually want you to tear it. I want you to tear it. So you're going to tear it, and there's going to be a sheet of paper left in your left hand. Discard the paper that's in your left hand. Tear it at your current age. Whatever your current age is, tear it. And you should have something that looks like this. If you're a teenager, tear it in the teens. If you're 80, tear it in 80. But tear it. Tear it. Thank you. Now I want you to see the other side. And I want you to pray about, just think about how long you pray to live for. Look, there are some people who say, if I can live to 60, to God be the glory. Because I have a family of history where people died in their 40s. People died in their 50s. So if I reach 60, praise God. There are some people praying to live to age 90. Some people praying to live to age 120. I want you to find that age that you want to live to and tear it. And discard the portion in your left hand. And you should have something that looks like this that is relevant for your age. Right? Are we seeing it? Are we seeing it? God has asked me to teach you to number your days. God has asked me to teach you to number your days. And what happens when we number our days is that prayerfully we begin to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Prayerfully, we begin to ask the question, God, how can I make the biggest spiritual return on investment? Father God, how can I make the biggest spiritual return on investment with my treasure? Father God, how can I make the biggest spiritual investment with my talents? Father God, how can I make the biggest spiritual investment with my time? We only have so much time. And so again, I told you earlier on that I was going to bring back the connection card, and everyone, please, please grab your connection card, because this is the moment that we've been praying for. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. This is the moment. This is the moment. This is the moment where we pray that there have been people who do not know Jesus who make the decision that right now, right now, right now, right now. Why? Because we only have so much time. We only have so much time. Our prayer is that right now you say that today is the day that I will get to know Jesus. And look, if you were like me and you knew him, but you went your own way, today is the day that I want to renew my commitment to Christ. I went my own way. I did my own thing. I was in the world. That today is the day that I decide to get baptized. And the thing about baptism is that I call it a significant experience. So I got baptized as a child, but it wasn't a significant experience to me. It was significant to my mom, but it wasn't significant to me. And our prayer is that today is the day that there be a boldness in you that God, that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. If there is anything in you that you feel like a prompting, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit is leading you and is guiding you. And as you fill that out, what I want to do is continue to fill that out. Again, I mentioned that I'm from a Baptist church. And there's a song that meant a lot to me growing up. It's called I Surrender. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. But what we're going to do as you fill that out is that we're going to sing this song. And I guess I need to touch the screen. Okay. We're going to sing the song. All to Jesus I surrender, all to thee my freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, freely live. Here we go. I surrender. Church, this is the part of the service where if you have made a decision for Christ, I just want you to join me in prayer. And in fact, I want everybody to say the prayer because we don't want you to feel alone. And I just want you to repeat after me. Can you bow your heads and close your eyes? Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I'm sorry for going my own way. Please forgive me. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my sin and raising from the grave. Holy Spirit, come inside of me. Make me brand new. From today, I surrender. Continue praying. Say, I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From today, forward ever, and backwards never. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've done today in the hearts of your sons and your daughter, your precious people. They're yours. God, I pray that today that we surrender. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that today is a day of healing. We just hadn't been mentored properly. We just hadn't been built properly. God, I pray that people walk out of here with a sense of knowing who you are, and not knowing who you are, but also why. Why? Why? Father God, let us be new creatures in you. I thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And together we said, amen, amen, and amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Can we give God a hand clap? Amen. Amen. So guys, I just want to tell you this. If you have filled out a connection card, will you just, as you leave, what you'll do is that there are giving boxes in the back. I also want to let you know that at the bottom is a prayer request section. It's perforated. So that means that your prayer request will be separate from your personal information. This is the portion of the service, guys, where we actually get to honor God with our giving. Now, I want to tell you this. If you are a guest or a visitor, please feel no pressure to give. Let the service be our gift to you. And actually, our church is very faithful. You guys are extremely faithful. I want to show you, in fact, how your giving is making a difference in our city. Check this out.
Our phenomenal outreach team drove all the way to Jacksonville, Florida to serve with a nonprofit called Beyond 90. Now, what they do is that they serve the refugee community in our region. And not only were we able to provide them with fall and winter clothes, but most importantly, we were able to cover them with prayer. To God be the glory.
Because Jesus died for us on the cross, Lord. And because he gave us a gift, rich to be used and to give to others, Lord. He said to go out, Lord, and disciple. And that's what we're doing. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the scripture in Deuteronomy, Lord, that we're supposed to help and take care of the widows, the poor, and everybody that we can. So we thank you for this opportunity, and we're praying for many more opportunities, because in the way the world is now with all of the fighting and hatred, it is so good to show love, Lord, to let people know that you are still here, you are still on the throne, and there are still people who are showing the love of Jesus, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you.
So Adi, what's your name?
Lumbo.
Lumbo?
We open 10 to 5.
Visa? Yeah. What you got to say, man? You tell people thank you. What you going to tell them?
Thanks
Asante
for bringing the clothes.
You're very welcome. Asante Kwakukuja Church. That means thank you for coming out. Asante Kwakukuja, right?
Yeah.
All right. Asante Kwakukuja.
You recording?
I thought that was cute. So church, what you don't know is that as an organization, as a church, we tithe. So 10% of every dollar that comes in goes right back out into our world, because there's a lost and dying world, right? And you are contributing to that. I just want you to know that you're faithful. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Can you guys rise to your feet? Did we learn today? Well, thank you. I mean, truly, truly, the hope is that we learn. The hope is that we grow. So thank you, guys. I'm just going to do a benediction over you. And again, if you filled out that connection card, either online or in person, as you walk out there giving boxes, you can drop those connection cards in the boxes, and you'll receive a letter in the mail from Pastor Josh telling you thank you for being with us and giving you next steps. Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you for today, God. It is with joy that I come and tell you thank you for what you have done. Because why? Today we have plundered hell and we have populated heaven. God, it is only because of you that you can use a message on finances, resources, stewardship to get people to heaven. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Holy Spirit, today's future, people's future are forever changed. They're going to walk out of here not the same. Holy Spirit, it's because of you. It's because of you. We thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. And everybody say it. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, tell somebody that you love them and keep looking up.